When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mean Girls, parentheses 2024, is over, but here on Porsche Recaps Theater, we are just getting started. My name is Ariel, and I am here with the Queen Bee herself. It is Grace. What's up, Grace?
My name is Grace Leader, and I am a massive deal.
You are definitely a massive deal as far as I'm concerned. This movie, you and I were talking a lot about this in the lead up to the movie because, and this kind of became a meme, for lack of a better word, in just people's conversations and culture at large, of like the fact that they were not promoting that it was a musical. They put the little music note in the A and mean. Yeah. It's like, that's like the little wink. So finally going into it, I was like, wouldn't it be a crazy twist if it actually wasn't a musical, even though I knew it was. Grace, what is your relationship with Mean Girls proper, 2004? And how did you feel about this movie?
I love the original movie. I think the movie is great. It came out at a time for me, I would have been like 13. So it's like pretty perfect timing, I think, for me to have watched it and enjoyed it. I have like basically, you know, it's full nostalgia, rose tinted glasses, but I think the original one is pretty much perfect. So then this new one came out and I was like, okay, fine, musical. Let's see. Well, you know, I think people liked the musical from 2017 that was on Broadway. So let's check it out. So I went and watched it. I will say, I do think one of the parts of my movie going experience that was tricky, and I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it, which is there was a group of people that went in and they were in the row kind of like in front of me and to the right.
Uh-oh.
They were a big group. And there was like two of them that wanted so hard to love, they were not going to not love this movie. And I don't know, their laughter could have been genuine, but the way that they were laughing way louder at everything and like, hollering and cheering when Mean Girls came on the screen and just absolutely loved it in a way that I kind of felt was like phony, but like, you know, maybe I'm wrong and I'm being hypocritical. So I kind of had that in the movie. And so my whole experience was like, we love it that much.
It's tainted.
I don't know if it's that good. Like, I don't know. Like, it's fun. You know,
you're constantly now measuring your own response to their response.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
And I, to be very honest, my opinion is I didn't really like it. There are moments that are, I thought, extremely charming, really well done. I think the casting is great. I think some of the performances are really good. I found the music to be like unmemorable, and I know that we have hot takes when it comes to music and we're often wrong, so you know, people today we're talking about
I know
and then I found, you know, and I said today in the Discord, like, I don't really know why they made it, and I know why they made it, because it would make a lot of money, and I'm happy for anybody. And so I kind of hate the phrase, like, why do we make this? Like, who is this for? Like, it doesn't really matter. I just don't think that this was enough of a spin on the original thing for me to have thought it was great, I guess. I don't know, Ariel.
Yes, you do. Well, now you're calling into question because of the responses from those people. But I, you know, I have to, for the most part, agree. I, you know, to go back to the original, obviously it's like an endlessly quotable movie. It's become like larger than life in the time. It's like beyond cult following at this point. It's like, you know, people quote it all the time, like to this day.
October 3rd is a big deal.
It's
a
huge, you know, the different memes. The October 3rd one always circulates on October 3rd. There are just certain things that are staples to the like cultural lexicon. And I think that's like a huge achievement. I never saw the musical. I remember it kind of receiving like mixed reviews. It was a little bit like your experience at the theater, where like the people who, and this is just my recollection to be clear, like the people who really liked it. And everyone else is like, yeah, you know, it's okay. But I never saw it. And I don't know also how close this is to the musical as far as the productions. I know some of the songs aren't there because obviously musicals tend to be longer and, you know, they have more freedom in the art form and on stage, and it's all different. But I really wanted to like this more, and I'm, you know, I want to get to the stuff that I liked and that we both liked, but for the most part, I didn't really have that great of a time. I felt like there were certain things that were like really distracting. And I don't mean somebody in the theater. I just mean some of the a performance in particular, and some of the voices were fine. I will say, just like off the bat, Renee Rapp as Regina George, like easily the best performer, I think, across the board.
I agree 100%.
Singing and acting. Like, she definitely, anytime she came in to the scene, I was like, oh, thank God. Like, we have Regina back, obviously, but more importantly, we have this amazing performer who is like stealing every single scene and taking all the energy, and the you know, becomes like this incredibly positive black hole of attention. But, you know, similar to you, the songs were like not so memorable. The Renee Rapp songs, to be clear, I loved, and I actually listened to some of them afterwards because her voice is so great. But I have a thing with like, and this is more with like movie musicals. I certainly don't pretend to be a super big watcher of theater musicals. But like, there's a thing with like the cleverness of lyrics that like when it's stupid, it's just like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I know there's like a silliness inherent in musicals and the way that you use the lyrics, but some of this just felt like, no, this is not good. this isn't good.
I know. And I feel this is, I would say the same as you, that this is like my least area of expertise. Like, if we were at trivia night and it was like the category is musicals, I would go to the bathroom for 20 minutes.
Oh, my phone is ringing at home.
Oh, did I leave my oven on? I gotta go. But I agree. Like, I joke about the I'm Regina George and I'm a massive deal. Like, the rest of that song is like mostly fine. But then I'm like squirming in my seat as it's happening. And if that's the piece I think that they're like hanging this remake on, I'm like, well, I don't think you really nailed it. And there's so much in here that I thought, you know, I actually do think when the movie is trying to be a new thing for 2024, there are some scenes that I think they do work for me, and the parts of the movie that work the best. And almost any time they're basically just trying to do a shot for shot remake of the original, I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah. Like, they do multiple jokes of the same joke from the movie, like multiple times. And I'm like, so we do, She Doesn't Even Go Here, and we twice, and we do Trying to Make Fetch Happen, and we do that one twice, and then there's like a new take on it at the end where I think someone has this new, like, he's like, this is the word I've invented, or this is how you make that happen, or whatever. And I just found that to be rough. I just found, like, anytime we were trying to do exactly what the original movie did, I don't think it worked. Anytime I thought they were trying to like try out some new stuff, I was like, do more of that. And then they wouldn't do it. And then I thought the musical stuff for me fell pretty flat. So yeah, singing, I think I can't argue that pretty much everybody they cast is a great singer. I'm not disparaging their singing. For me, it was the lyrics and like the set pieces that, other than Revenge Party, I don't feel like I could recall what happened in the song at all. So, and I know that's me, but like, you know, that's my take.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. First, let me try to do the quick plot recap. You know, I think a lot of people for sure have seen the original, but it's that, you know, classic girl out of water, new to a high school that was raised in Kenya and learning the social dynamics of a school. And she makes friends, but also falls in with the wrong friends, this clique called the Plastics. And then everything basically blows up and everybody learns about acceptance and friendship and what it means to be a friend. Someone even gets hit by a bus. And then by the end, everyone comes back together and forgives each other. I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, with songs. Yeah,
very oversimplified. But to that point of that you just made of like plus songs, a big part of the thing for me, for my experience, was at some point I'm like, oh god, like how much more story is there still? Because the original movie is an hour and 37 minutes.
Yeah,
and this movie is 2 hours. Oh no,
112 minutes. So okay. Yeah, 152.
It felt like a lot longer, to be honest. I thought it was 2 hours, but that time is very, very much felt like, I think you're making, yes, you have to make time for the songs, but it just felt like some of the notes that it was dwelling on, like, we, and I don't mean the musical notes, some of the plot stuff,
yeah,
that it was dwelling on, I was like, like, we could move this along. Like, the original movie is so perfectly paced. Whatever. I'll stop comparing it to the first movie, I guess, because it's in a way a different like form of movie.
This, yeah, but
musical,
then I also,
but like, each movie has a responsibility to pace itself in a way that is entertaining, and I just think that this movie failed at that.
Yes, I would agree. If I start with the things that I did really like, Renee Rapp, I agree, is such a good Regina George. I thought she's really, really good. Aulii Cavallo is, I thought, was really good as Janice. So that like pretty phenomenal. Who plays Damien? Jaquel Spivey, I thought, was very good. Andre Rice, I thought, is really good as like first half Caddy or Katie. Whoa, I did it.
I really just want to call her Caddy because it's funnier.
And then I don't know that I fully buy her as Mean Girl Katie. It's probably for me. I feel bad, but it's probably my least favorite performance. And I say that like half and half. Like, I love the first half performance, I think, is like perfect. But the thing that was so good about Lindsay Lohan is she played both. She was like so good at both. Of like,
so believably, arguably realistically.
Aventico, who plays Karen Shetty, I think that they did her dirty with her, with like how dumb her character was. And I did not, these are the jokes that worked the least for me. I will say, I think this is another one where I could be so wrong, because a lot of people I'm seeing are saying like Renee Rapp, Aulii Cavallo, and Aventica are like the best parts of the movie. So people really liked Karen in this movie. It did not work for me. I thought Gretchen, Bibi Wood as Gretchen Wieners was quite good. So the performances I thought were great. And the singing I think is good. It's just that lyrically they didn't work for me. But the story piece in terms of fleshing it out, I think there's two things that are missing. And again, you're right to say, like, to try not to compare it is so hard. When you called it the same thing, you said this is not your, I know, like, this is not your mama's Mean Girl, but then the story is the same. So like, if you wanted to update, and you do get a little bit of social media stuff or whatever, but I think the original for some reason felt like it had way more edge to it. And I think a good example, maybe in the ways that the modern movie didn't feel like it has edge, like, I can't believe they kept in the stuff about like the, like, Regina's weight. Like, I thought for sure that stuff was like going to come out of the script and we would do something else that would feel more modern. And they don't, they keep it in entirely. And then the other piece is, I feel like the scene where like the burn book is so essential to the movie, and not just that, but the way that it all gets publicly brought in, and the way that this movie, I just don't think this movie does as good of a job of delivering the message and making that moment when Katie tears up the tiara and chucks it into the crowd, and that every woman deserves, every girl who's here suffers through the same bullshit, like patriarchal bullshit, and should get to share in this moment. It's silly that it's to one person.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie like landed that moment effectively in a way that I think the first movie totally, because there's so much about, yeah, when they're like reading off the things that are written about them, and they're, you know, all of that stuff is to me just so much stronger in the original movie than I think it is in this movie. So you're hoping that the music makes up for the fact that like the story feels a little bit like, you know, that's where those, that stuff should come through. But then the songs feel like they're not even about this stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, I have a lot to say. For sure, the standout people, as we already said, Renee Rapp and Louis Crivello, apologies for the pronunciation. I really liked Janice's chemistry with Damien. I thought that relationship,
their dynamic was so good,
is both really important to the story and really strong, especially in this story, because this version of the story is basically like they're kind of retelling the story. They're kind of like the narrators of the entire story. It's almost like it's being told, via flashback in a way. And that felt great to have these two really important, really remembered fondly characters from the previous movie to get that right. That's like really important. I thought like John Hamm as Coach Carr was like perfectly serviceably like idiotic. We get Tim Meadows, who was in the original, playing Mr. Duval again. We get Tina Fey playing Miss Norberry again. I have to say, for me, like the Karen performance was easily the thing that was most like jarring and like kept taking me out of the movie, because I think, yes, the writing I think was like particularly like cartoonishly dumb. Like there was just something so almost unbelievable. There are arguably a lot of unbelievable things that happen in the movie, but there was just something to the way that the actress Avantika was playing it, where I was like, I agree with you. They did her so dirty. And I think part of what they did her dirty was like allow her to continue to show up like this. I think there's a way where you can modulate the performance slightly. I do not think it was effective. You know, I think that it just, and like I said, it kept taking me out of it. And I really wanted to like that character. Obviously, it's like a really hard character to get right. I think we were super spoiled with Amanda Seyfried. But this was like, then when she sang, meanwhile, I was like, oh, okay, this is great. Like you're showing like a whole range of emotion and personality that you're not at all getting the chance to showcase when you're speaking. Like I can't get that image out of my head with like the wide eyes and just like, it's almost like I use this word like somewhat lightly, but it's almost like offensive that they allowed her to be this stupid. I don't know. That really wasn't working for me. I agree with about the Katie stuff of once she's making like this turn of like being the quote unquote like evil plastic, and Jury Rice is just a little too sweet for that. They needed to, again, maybe like fix that in a different way, talk about, or, you know, present it in a different way. I don't know what the solution is, but I was bummed to feel that way about, you know, these characters.
And I think like they all performed what they were given. Like, yeah, great. Like, yeah, like you did as much as you could, but it's like, can't fix what you were given. So yeah, I thought Jenna Fischer as, Katie's mom was pretty actually perfect. I thought the how much she looks like her. I thought was good. And Jenna Fisher's like totally fine in this role. Like, you know, mm-hmm. She doesn't ever sing. I think the biggest laugh line for me in the whole movie, and maybe of movie going for the last like 6 months, is when Tina Fey starts to sing. goes, well, no. It's so funny.
It was very funny. And it works like on the different, you know, on the meta level, like Tina Fey's like, I'm not singing and this is like my thing. And I get to like make that choice. But also it's just such a funny, obviously a very well-seasoned veteran comedic actress just getting like taking that small opportunity to deliver like comedy gold for sure.
Yeah, it's so funny. So I like that. I like bringing Tim Meadows back. I did think this version of Janice and Damien, I thought was the best way that they, some of the best ways in which they modernized the story. So both of them being out and having people, even though their like relationships are not part of the story, they're still like, they get this, you know, in the movie, I think the original one, there is a funny moment when they kiss and they're like, nope, 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 no, 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 no. Like, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do like, in terms of like updating it of like, yeah, kids can be like, teens can be out in high school and somewhere back then in 2004 too, but translating that to the big screen. So having them both be out, obviously I think that it was, you know, for Damien to be a black man, I thought that was great. I, you know, the pieces that I thought, again, where they tried their own thing, this is not from the original, right? But the French class, and I know it was in the trailer, so I feel like it was ruined, but the like pick a French name and like Celine Dion and like Beyonce, yeah, right? That's not from the, right? That's not from the,
no, original. No. Yeah. I'm really mad that they put that in the trailer as well.
I know.
By the time you hear it in the movie, it's like you've heard it a million times.
And so when they're trying this new stuff, when they're trying new stuff, so it's that, it's Tina Fey going to sing, like, no, no, no. And I know that, like, you can only do that in this one, but like when they try new stuff, I'm like, oh, there's such good stuff there. And I just felt like they were almost like held back from the fact that they felt like it had to be homage in some way to the 2004 Mean Girls, because as much as I call it a perfect movie, certainly, like, you know, there is stuff you can change. That's like, you know,
yeah, for sure.
It's not like it can't be like updated or whatever. And the times where they, like, not that these two scenes really feel like they're updating it, but when they tried something that was like new, I was like, this is great. Instead of what I felt like, you know, this nostalgia just pull, like, of being like, yeah, of being like, she doesn't even go here. And then 2 minutes later being like, but honestly, she doesn't even go here. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. That was a lot from the first movie.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There was this song where, I can't remember, maybe it's sort of, it doesn't matter, but I think it's Janice who's singing, and she's like, oh, there's cake and something, 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 and there's cake. Like, there was like that repetition, which, yeah, like in that instance, I actually thought was kind of funny, but I think it is something that was, the repetition was repeated throughout the movie. And it's a really interesting point about like some of the retread stuff, because I similarly felt like there were specific lines where they would do a whole scene with completely new dialogue, but then throw in like a couple of lines that you knew really well that are like famous or well-known or whatever from the original movie. And for the most part, it just felt so flat. It fell so flat. Like, you really needed, to your point about doing something new and like changing it, you really needed to bring something different than not just something different, something special, because it feels like all they tried to do was to deliver a few lines in a few different ways, like a few different intonations or whatever, instead of finding new life in the line or finding like a new motivation to speak it. some of that stuff, I was like, it was honestly kind of groan worthy of like, oh no, not that. They kind of ruined that thing that I loved so much from the original.
The other piece too is the movie is called Mean Girls, and there is a story of like Katie gets in with the wrong crowd, and like what they've done to some people is quite mean. But there's also like, they weren't that mean. And I think I saw Ira Madison the third say, they should have called it kind of rude girls, I guess, you know, something like that. It's like, yeah, I do feel like for on one hand, I'm saying like, you know, like they go way more like gratuitous with with the rock around the Christmas. They do like rock around the pole, and Jenna Fisher's reactions to like her daughter having got caught up in this, I thought were also very good.
Yes.
And there's a joke I know a lot of people are loving about like singing the iCarly theme song in French or whatever. But I feel like for as much as like sometimes they were willing to go, you know, and then, you know, in terms of the modernness, but then also like so much of Mean Girls is about girls this age and how mean they can be. Right. And I felt like they weren't mean enough. And I don't know where that comes from of trying to make sure that like, is there a worry that like the Mean Girls won't be able to be like redeemed at the end of the movie? Because I don't know. It's like, but you can showcase, especially in like coming of age, right? Where it's like, these are teens who are like, they don't really know how society works. And you're in this weird, you know, ecosystem of a high school. Like, yeah, they can be really mean because they're all trying to figure out their stuff and they got a lot going on. And I just felt like it got softer around the edges that I think the original film, like, again, I think there's stuff you can like remove and edit or whatever, but at the same time, like sort of the whole point is that they're really mean so that when Katie joins them, it feels like that feels bad. Like the more she's becoming like one of them, even when she thinks because she wants to, less so because she's trying to like infiltrate them secretly. That's what makes the movie effective, right? That's what works. And I just feel like that was like missing from this movie.
The stakes just feel so high in the original. And like, this just feels like, nah, you could do it, you could not do it, it kind of doesn't matter, let's sing about it. And it's like, I agree. Like, definitely, I think that points to missing some of the edge and just missing like a good story. Like, I think in the attempt, like you said, in the attempt to like soften some stuff or change some stuff, they like lost sight of the stuff that should have stayed emotionally the same, if that makes sense. And it just didn't. And I wish that it had. Speaking of mothers, Busy Phillips, I love Busy Phillips. And I think for the most part, she's very funny in almost everything. Known her for years. Me and her were close personal friends. No, but like, basically from Dawson's Creek onward, I was like invested in anything that she was in. And this, like, I was a little disappointed, Grace. I don't want to keep piling on, but like, this was one that like I felt, because I wanted Busy Phillips to be so good in this hilarious role that Amy Poehler did such a good job in. And it's similar to the Karen thing. It was just like a little bit too cartoonish for me.
I think it's so hard to step in the shoes of Amy Poehler, who is so good in the role of mom who wants to be cool. And it, you know, there's not maybe enough moments where I don't know. It's just like Amy Poehler pulls off the balance when that first scene, when like Katie comes to visit so well that Busy Phillips is doing fine, but then there's kind of like no more. So it's like, it feels like it can't go. The only other really scene, there's two things we get, is one when Katie comes home and it's Busy Phillips's like picture on the door. And then when Katie's going to go, or sorry, when Regina, sorry, I meant Regina. I said Katie. Regina comes home. And then also the photo shoot before prom. And she's like, let me take pictures. Like, I thought that was fine. But I agree. It's like, Amy Poehler just completely nails it in the first one. And so it's just going to be so hard to like, how do you make it stand out? Because this to me felt like, again, I feel like there wasn't much effort here put into like making it feel distinct or unique to this.
Change her character, make her completely disinterested in anything Regina says or does. Yeah. And it kind of, the interactions kind of stay the same. Like, I feel like you, whatever. I don't want to Monday morning quarterback, the plot of this movie.
I did forget, though, as I think about the scene with the photo shoot, because Regina is in the full neck brace. I do really like the last interaction that Regina and Katie have, where she's like, I think I forgive you. I think I actually like you, but also I'm really high right now and I like everybody. So
I thought that was one of the few scenes that were added that felt like different and actually earned and well executed was that scene, because like, again, it's Renee Rapp who's like just capturing that exact balance perfectly of, I mean this and I'm being sincere, but also I'm still Regina and like I somehow look kind of hot in this like weird neck brace thing. It's a wonderful note. I mean, arguably one in the original movie. This actually, I would say this is one of the improvements. In the original movie, we kind of just get a look between them at the very end. Mm-hmm. But this is at least some version of reconciliation that I think the movie actually earns. So, you know, maybe this will be the new look that we see around like Halloween. Everyone's always copying Regina's looks.
Well, there's the one where everybody is using the wet look.
The wet look.
Oh, the sexy wet look happen.
Even the teachers.
Yeah, the French teacher, who is not really also in the movie much, other than that one scene where you have to make a French name. One other thing, and then that moment where she's also trying to be cool. But shouldn't have that been, that should have been Busy Phillips. Shouldn't she have been the one who's doing it? She shows up to pick her up at school and she's like got the wet look because she wants to be cool. Not the teacher. Like, why'd we give that character note to her?
Ashley Park, who is playing Madam Park.
Is she? That's hilarious. Yes.
That was, you know, it happens, I guess. We do get a very interesting, actually, before we talk about the cameo, I just want to shout out the new Kevin G. Mahi Alam, who does, this is one of the cases where I think he has done what I said I was looking for before. He has taken this character, the character essentially serves the same purpose and acts a lot of the same way, but like he has brought something new and unique and interesting to this portrayal that it makes me feel like this is simultaneously the same person but also could be a different person. And I think the movie is one of the really small stupid nerdy things I think the movie was doing interesting things with was like the way in which Miss Norbury was still there, but like these characters were the same and like it's the same universe and they're old. It's like they did a Boyhood, but like the characters are the same and the same age rather now. And like so I thought this Kevin G thing worked really well.
Well, that's why I haven't talked about Christopher Briney, who plays Aaron Samuels. We haven't talked about him at all. He's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, I think I've said as much as I want to say.
Yeah, I think it says that we didn't come up until 30 minutes in, I think. Probably says a little bit.
He turned around and his first interaction with Katie, I was kind of like, oh no, this is not my math crush. But he's trying, you know. Christopher Briney, I think similar to other people, it's like he can only do so much with what he was given.
Who's the original Jonathan Bennett?
I believe that's his name.
You know,
we get Lindsay Lohan Grace here at the end of the movie. I thought this was actually like a fun, unexpected place for this cameo. Like, it's totally, we totally could have gotten her as like a mom picking somebody up at school, like some like older version of who we think Katie is. But for her to be the, you know, final judge at this mathletes competition at the climax of like her original character's movie, I thought was actually kind of cool.
I liked it. I thought it worked. This is, you know, to a degree, I'd have to struggle to remember the person who leads the mathlete contest at the end. But the fact that she's kind of like a mean girl is pretty like, I don't know. Why would I know that? Like, you know, just answer the question. I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it worked. And I was totally surprised. I did not know Lindsay Lohan was in this movie. So
there was a gasp that went through the movie theater. This is when my people got all excited. It was like, oh my God.
Yeah, we got
a
standing ovation. I'm just kidding.
I thought it was just like really nice to see her doing something seemingly wholesome, and I was looking for other cameos before that and I don't think we got any. I might be missing, but I think that's the only one.
Megan Thee Stallion is in the social media montage.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. That I collect. But as far as like you know, people who've been in the first movie, I thought there might be a little more of like the teachers, but you know, we get Mr. Duval and Miss Norbury.
Yeah.
What can we say about the performance of the movie? It did, yeah, you know, pretty good. Mean Girls musical rules with $32 million holiday debut, according to Variety.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good, considering. It only cost $36 million. Wow, okay, so that's good. They're close to making profit.
I know that Rob and Akiva this week on Renap are gonna do one of the, I think Rob is staying home to watch 2004's Mean Girls, and Akiva will be going to the movie theater to watch the new Mean Girls. And they did say on their pod, they're like, feels bad that it came out in January, huh? And that to me is the biggest like indictment of the movie, I think, yeah, in terms of like, if you thought this, you know, if the network or the studio thought this was like really good, this is not coming out in January. Because the thing, I mean, maybe there's a long play in terms of like, well, maybe we really believe in it and there's kind of nothing else out right now.
Yeah.
Like The Beekeeper was in second place, Wonka's in third place, Anyone But You, and then Migration. Like, oof, that's a rough mm-hmm. top of the box office list, I just gotta say. So
as the Migration commercial featuring the Taylor Swift song says, are we out of the woods yet, Grace?
No, we're not. And it only kind of gets worse. There's basically something I'm excited for this Friday. And then there's like, actually, I lied. I've seen it, so I don't know if that'll be good. But Origin is pretty good if you're going to go see Origin.
Ooh,
but,
yeah, I really want to see that.
Yeah, this is a rough month. But you know what we have instead? We have Oscar nominations coming at the end of the month, and then we'll be on wow. full Oscar season. So, you know, it's because that is the thing. It's like, it does seem silly to that all of these people like try to get their movie out before the end of the year. But then I also like then I look at like Origin coming out in a few weeks. I'm like, I really feel like you missed your window to get nominated for stuff. I love that movie. I thought it was like one of my top favorite movies from Take a Drink, Ariel, TIFF. But it's not getting any nominations anywhere. So I don't, and yeah. I don't. And so this, like, if you look like an American Fiction that I think has a better chance of like getting some acting nods, it came out, they rushed that out on December 22nd or whatever. So yeah, I mean, for some, I'm like, stop putting all the stuff in December and then nothing in January.
You'll have more space in January.
But then I'm also like, I don't know, maybe they're right. That like basically anything that's going to come out from here to like Oscar time is not going to be nominated for Oscars. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they're all right. I don't know. Maybe the people who work at studios know a little bit about releasing movies. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the release point is an interesting one because this movie, Mean Girls, was originally commissioned for Paramount Plus streaming.
Right.
And then, you know, it tested well, so they decided to release it on the big screen. I think it was the right choice, seemingly based on how much it's made and how much it's going to continue to make. You know, that's probably more quantifiable money than they would see through the very convoluted streaming process and, you know, subscriptions and all that.
Yeah.
But it's rough out here for us. I am excited about ISS coming out.
I'm
I don't
kind
know
of
if
excited.
It's any good, but it has so many actors that I love in it that I really want it to be good. So we'll see. We know Dr. Amanda won't be watching it because it takes space.
She told me this the other day. We were podcasting about True Detective, so I'm not going to watch that. I just watched For All Mankind seasons 3 and season 4. So I'm fully in space mode, specifically Russians Against Americans, which I believe this movie is. It's like
Apocalypse, right. Oh my God.
Apocalypse on Earth and then, you know, battle on the International Space Station between Russians and Americans. But yeah, Ariana DeBose, who got totally slammed at one of the awards this week. Did you see this? Did you see the?
No, but I was kind of thinking
they're singers. It's like, she's pretty good at singing. No, I don't.
She's an amazing actress.
Just because she did Angela Bassett did the thing, it's fine. Who cares? Yeah,
that was bad. I had forgotten about that.
Angela Bassett did the thing.
Just the way she sings and speaks with such conviction. I wish, you know, her career is interesting right now because she came off of West Side Story and she's done a couple of things that maybe could have been bigger, and then Wish came out and that wasn't big, and now this is her chance though. All these nominations for ISS forthcoming, I don't know. Probably
Chris Messina as well. So yeah, it should be fun. Seems like it probably got a big budget. It's only 95 minutes as well. Don't you, when you look at this movie, be like, this thing's going to be 3 hours.
But not 95 minutes in space with high tension. I know.
I'm excited. This is also a movie that was on the blacklist in 2020, I think, September 2020, and then got picked up. Blacklist being like films that people have like option, but like don't, it's the most like motion picture screenplays that have not yet been produced. So it's like a, and then they curate and put it out each year in December. So I think 2023 is just released a few weeks ago. This was a 2020 blacklist movie that got picked up because of the blacklist. So that's kind of cool.
There's hope. There's hope for all of us, even those of us who don't like space.
Yeah. I also want to shout out the Kinect is doing. So we ultimately didn't do the Color Purple coverage. The Kinect did both the coverage of the original film and then now the musical that came out a little while ago. I believe they're also going to cover American Fiction, which we also didn't cover here, which I thought is really, really good. I think that Jeffrey Wright certainly is worthy of a nomination. That performance, also Sterling K. Brown getting a lot of attention for the movie. It's very good. It's worth checking out. It's very funny. And then, they might be covering some more stuff, but I just want to give a shout out that they are covering some pods and they'll drop in our feed. So make sure you listen to them. I believe Marion Chappelle will be on them, and I think LaTanya joined them for the Color Purple pods. I'm not sure if she'll be joining for American Fiction, but we shall see.
Awesome. Love a shout out. That's really it for Mean Girls. I was gonna sing, but I think
my name is Regina George.
Running out of time. Yeah. Grace, in addition to watching this movie again tonight as soon as we're finished, what else do you have going on?
Don't put that out there. Don't put that out there. They'll put that into the world. It's fine. So full spoiler recaps with Jess. So like I said, we covered For All Mankind this week, and we'll be covering Slow Horses next week, which is so we're on the Apple TV train at the moment, watching all the shows that are kind of critically acclaimed on there. I don't know if we could call For All Mankind critically acclaimed, but big show.
It was at one point.
Yeah. Dr. Mann and I have finished our episodic coverage of The Curse. We are going to come back with the feedback show, and I will just tease because, schedules may change, but I think we have a pretty exciting guest who will be joining us if all things work out. And then True Detective has season 4 has begun. So Dr. Amanda and I did the recap of the episode immediately after. Jess Sterling and I should be getting an episode, the deep dive out soon. I thought the episode was really good. If you like mystery TV, this episode had so much in the forefront, but then also so many things that I'm like, wait, what? Tell me more about that. That Jess and I are on the Reddit boards and Wikipedia pages searching. So check that out. And then Fargo's coming to an end this week as well with the finale. Aww. So Mike Bloom and LaTanya and I will chat about that. So I got a lot going on at the moment. I'm on social media at Hi From Grace. What about you, Ariel?
So much going on. I am also on the socials, really just on Twitter X though, at That Other Ariel. I'm covering 6 Feet Under with the aforementioned Amanda. We are now deep into season 2. No, actually, it's only been a couple episodes. And also covering Masters of the Air with Philly, which premieres next week. And this week we'll be discussing Band of Brothers and The Pacific, which were kind of predecessors, same executive producing teams and same story. It's about a war, Grace. Not the Great War, but a war, the second war. The big one.
The Great War. So not the Great War.
Out for that. No, I had to make that correction to myself. But yeah, that's it for us for now. We will be back next week talking about movies as always. And until then, I'm Ariel, that's Grace, and we are Pusher Recaps Theater. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.